Hi, I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. What you are about to hear is Abounding Grace Radio. This is a radio program committed to making known the riches of God's grace in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If what you hear resonates with you and you would love to learn more about the person and the work of Christ and more about worship, join us this Sunday at the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Our commitment is to teach and preach expositionally through the Scriptures without compromise, that all who hear would come to know the saving power of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Worship service times are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Now here is our program, Abounding Grace.
Adorning Christ and His Gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, extremely grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. As always, very thankful to come and bring these radio broadcasts to the San Diego area. And we invite you to visit our website that we have put together for you at www.agradio.org. And we have podcasts there for you. We have maps to local churches. We have a way to donate online, which we would be extremely grateful for. All donations will go to the cost of the program. So here in Abounding Grace, our commitment is to teach and to preach the Word of God without compromise, to exposit texts of Scripture to show people the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and also spend some time today reflecting on the design of Christian ministry. That's what I want to spend time with you today on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have an explanation of what the Christian ministry should be and what it should look like. Let me read a little bit of that passage today. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, let me start here today. William Willimon once said that so often the church tries hard to speak to the world in the world's terms, she tries so hard that she falls right in. I'll never forget that when I read an ad for a new Bible translation. Pastor, if you want to reach me, you had better watch your language. As the advertisement goes, distracted by bills and deadlines, this is the only time she takes to nurture her spiritual life. You can't afford to lose her attention when you reference Bible passages that are too lofty and obscure. Well, that just characterizes so well the issue that we're dealing with in our text, because generally there are two sorts of approaches to Christian ministry. On the one hand, there's the approach that just preaches to the baptized. In other words, it's just concerned with its own group. The church has become a kind of closed box, and it doesn't welcome visitors, and it doesn't know how to minister to those who are unlike them. It's a real danger. On the other hand, there's the other thought, which is a really big problem today, that what we do in church is only for the unbaptized, the lost. And so we have to choose our words carefully. We have to figure out how to make a bridge for them in their context to make the word of God relevant for them. You know, that's the great pressure today, isn't it? Now, we wouldn't just do that anywhere. I was a college ball player, and, you know, my coach was always worried about recruiting. You know, what could he offer in competition with the other universities to get that 7-footer to get him to sign and play? He didn't worry about me too much. I had already signed. There were a million shooting guards out there. But can you imagine if he said, look, I really want to get you into our program. I won't make you learn the plays. I know they're hard. I'm not going to run you. I'm going to give you the best equipment, the best living situation, the best treatment. We so want you in our program, we're going to focus it all on you. What have you just done? You've just brought in your recruit on false premises. You've just wrecked the unity of the team. You've changed the nature of the game of basketball. In the same way, we can't do that in Christ Church today. People have to learn the language, the theology, who God is, and to be patient as the Spirit works in them. It does take work. Christianity is a religion of the book. And if the Lord is bringing someone to genuine saving faith, nothing can pluck them from His hand. They will stay. So I want to say this today. This is so important because the pressures are so great out there. We need to understand the design of Christian ministry. It's so easy to become discouraged and disheartened when people reject the truth. Truth is often confrontive. Truth is often demanding. Truth often calls for radical change. You can't read Jesus without coming to that conclusion. The interesting reality is that the Apostle Paul struggled with the same problem. What we're facing today has always been a problem. The scene is fascinating here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was under assault by false apostles, false pastors, who were doing everything they could to attack his ministry. They were assaulting his character. And the primary assault came in the claim that Paul was being culturally ineffective, that his evangelism techniques were all wrong because so many were rejecting his message. Listen, I'm pretty sure if the Apostle Paul were here today and he had a church down in San Diego, it would not be a popular church. I'm pretty sure about that. He's getting criticized because so many were rejecting it. That's the context here. Truth is hard-hitting. Truth is confrontive. And so even in the early church, different ways of doing church to try to reach the lost became a real conundrum and a real challenge. And this church, Corinth, was one of your worst kind of churches. This is the kind of church no minister really wants to take because it will take you down. As we stand back from this, we ask a couple questions here today. What was Paul's understanding of Christian ministry? Important question, isn't it? How did he handle these pressures, which are all too real, that if you talk about sin and you talk about hell, people are going to just walk away. They don't want that today. And if Paul were here today, what would his ministry look like? How do we stay balanced? Isn't that a great challenge today? Just to be balanced, we constantly fall into extremes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 provides a lot of clarity on where the Apostle Paul stood on these issues. And if I were to summarize in one statement everything he says here under the inspiration of the Spirit, it's this. We live in the most effective time ever for gospel ministry. Bold claim. Why do I say that? Because the day of the outpouring of the Spirit has come. And that means that his ministry of ministering to sinners the righteousness that comes by faith is exceeding in glory unlike any other time in world history, despite appearances. We can't let the troubles we face today in our times and the dangerous seasons we're in shadow this great truth. The Apostle Paul was overjoyed to be a preacher of the gospel because of two reasons. The character of the ministry had been given, and the mercy of God. I want you to listen to verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. What ministry? The Apostle Paul understood something so powerful about the nature of gospel ministry. I want you to think back to this for a minute in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, where he describes something so beautiful. Listen to what he said. "And I have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves." Now listen to this. "But our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So in other words, we never chose this. We never even asked for this. We, from the beginning, never thought we were sufficient to do this. But God made us sufficient. And the glorious reality is, we have been given the ministry of the new covenant, which is of the Spirit. Now, he is setting this all in contrast to Moses and the law, which he calls a ministry of condemnation. The blood of bulls and goats could not save. It never had the ability to set anyone free. Here's my point. Paul was overwhelmed because he wasn't a minister of the old, but of the new. And what that meant was that everything in the promises made to Abraham were coming to pass. Remember what the promise made to Abraham was? "In you, all the Gentiles of the earth will be blessed." The fulfillment of the promises to Abraham are happening now. So Paul understood this. The glorious Holy Spirit would reveal himself in a bright light, remember, that surrounded the presence of God. That glory would lead Israel in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But the old covenant, when Moses came down from the mountain, that glory faded. A veil was put up to keep Israel from seeing that the glory of the old covenant was fading. The law could not save. The law could not save. Israel struggled with that. Now, when Pentecost happened, the Spirit came forth like fire and wind, came in power. His glory shone not in a cloud, not over a temple, but in our hearts. The character of the new covenant ministry is that when the Spirit seals a heart for the day of redemption, that glory does not fade as it did with Moses in the old covenant. And this understanding of the presence of the Spirit is driving Paul's understanding of what has been given to him, because he says something amazing in verse 18 of chapter 3. He says, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So in other words, the Spirit is living in us. He's transforming us into the image of Jesus from glory to glory. So what we're saying is our ministry is about Jesus Christ. What we do is about Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus Christ. Christ is our all in all. We are filled with Christ. We feed on Christ. The Spirit's ministry is permanent because that ministry is ministering to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is transforming us from glory to glory, more glory and more glory, so that this ministry is powerful, effective, and permanent. Now, this view, dear listener, is going to affect your view of what we do in the Christian church today on a few different levels. You see, in verse 1, Paul is saying, "I have confidence in this. I can testify to it. I've received mercy through it. I'm not giving this to you blindly. I've known the mercy of Christ in this ministry. I am living testimony of it." So then he says something shocking. In light of this ministry, in light of having this ministry, we do not lose heart. Now, why would he say that? If this ministry is so glorious, so powerful, why would he even reference the possibility of losing heart? This is an amazing section of scripture. I mean, just following this, he will say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Now that doesn't sound very glorious, does it? Hard-pressed, perplexed, struck down, persecuted, dying. The reason he could say that, he doesn't lose heart, is because the Spirit is involved. Now here's what was going on. You see, there was a particular problem the Apostle Paul was facing in his ministry. He was facing opposition from false apostles. And basically what they were saying about Paul is that he was not effective enough in his ministry. He was evangelistically defective. He was culturally and contextually lacking because so many had rejected his gospel. This preacher was under a lot of attack. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he gets kind of sarcastic and he calls these guys super apostles. He says, I'm not inferior to these super apostles, even though I'm untrained in speech, yet I'm not in knowledge. Now, he had already dealt with this in 1 Corinthians. He said, when I came, I did not come with excellence of speech declaring to you the testimony of God. What did he say? In fact, he purposely avoided all this. He says, I knew nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I didn't do all the neat, cool, hip things that all the other guys were doing so that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Get that? Important point for today's ministry, isn't it? Not about being cool, not about being hip. It's not about being all this contextually wise. It's about being faithful to what God's called us to do. The results are His. Now, you need to understand what was going on in this culture. This was the time of great oration, speaking. Paul says, I didn't come with excellence of speech. This was the time of the great orator, Cicero. There was one statement in De Orator that Cicero made about speaking. One of the weapons of oratory, the stamping of the foot, should be used only in the most vehement efforts, at their commencement or conclusion. But it all depends on the countenance, and even in that the eyes bear sovereign sway. Get that? Listen, if you're going to be a really effective speaker, they said, your eyes need to hold them. You need to stomp your foot and be really dramatic in the way that you emphasize your points. You need to be smooth and crafty. Interesting that one of the prominent principles of rhetoric was that the truth is to be ambivalent. In other words, undecided. So it was thought that your speech needed to sound wise and be heady and be complex. It needs to have the element of the theoretical, of the mysterious that would draw in the hearer, so that all the people would hang on your words, cling to your mysteries that you hold. There was a sense of secret knowledge that only the elite and the great orators and the philosophers had. It's called Gnosis, the Gnostics. Now, can you picture what began to happen in the church? Satan began to raise up all of these preachers in the early church who transformed themselves into apostles of Christ, and the people were enamored with them. They preached with real draw. Lots of people were coming to these worship services. They were drawing in great converts. People became attracted to the personalities, the uniqueness of it all. It turned into no more than very good acting. People were captivated by the oratory dramas couched with Christian language. And here's the sad thing, dear listener. Nothing was being made clear. The word of God was not being brought to bear on people's consciences. Now, does any of this sound familiar today? You think we're caught up in cults of personality? Do you think we're looking for personalities? The ones who just speak so well. The ones who are so smooth, so flattering. The ones who make us tickle our ears and who tickle our ears and make us feel good. You remember the Apostle Paul warned about this. The time would come when men would not preach the word. They will turn their ears away from the truth. They won't want the truth as it is in Jesus. But instead, they will have itching ears and they will heap up for themselves teachers and they will turn away their ears from the truth. Think we're heaping up teachers today? Think we're living that? Here comes Paul. Since I've received this ministry, this glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit resting in people's hearts, I don't have to lose heart because it seems like what I'm doing is culturally ineffective. And these other great super pastors are gaining so many converts. I don't have to do any of that. You know, I think of these little pastors who have small churches and they're laboring so faithfully to deliver the word of God, and they've not bought into the gimmicks, and they're really working hard every week to exposit the word of God. And then you've got the super pastors with all the resource, with all the money, and with all the gimmicks, and with all the show. And you know, this is just the pressure. How is this little pastor going to make it when all the young people seem so attracted to that kind of stuff? We're all worried about this today. We're worried about how it's going to affect our young people and the music. And are we being relevant enough? And you know, as it just goes without saying, there's always someone who's doing it better than you. Is that what it's about? It's a fair question, isn't it? We've got to ask that today. Is this what it's all about? Is this what it's become? Paul is talking about this. Paul is wrestling through this. And Paul doesn't want to begin to build the ministry with his own materials. You know, it's interesting that he would say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that people are building with wrong materials. They're building with their own wisdom. And Paul said that, you know, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for that day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved so as through fire. There is the danger in Christian ministry to be building with the wrong things and thinking we're doing great things for Jesus. The scriptures correct this. And that's why Paul is saying, I don't have to lose heart in what I do. I can be confident that this is the Holy Spirit's ministry, and that as I faithfully tend to that ministry, I give myself to explaining the scriptures, as I preach and teach the word of God, the Holy Spirit will save. The results are up to him. And I've always said that if the Holy Spirit is not at work in somebody's heart to receive the truth, right? And they want to depart, then we can't stop that. It is something the Holy Spirit has to work powerfully within the heart. In other words, all results belong to the Lord. We need to focus today in ministry on being faithful to our callings. And Paul says that in verse 4 here. He says, we've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. See what he's wrestling with, dear listener? We've renounced these feelings that well up within us about embarrassment for what we do. We preach the cross of Jesus Christ without compromise. That's our job. And that's my plea today on Abounding Grace Radio. You know, you need to be in churches where the gospel is preached, where Christ is heralded, where the man who preaches to you is unafraid of declaring to you the whole counsel of God as you are a good Berean, and you search the scriptures to see if the things are being said are so. That's our calling. And I want a great recovery in our day of the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's where the power is. That's where the power is to save. Oh, let us give ourselves to hear Jesus Christ, for it is the foolishness of the message preached that God has chosen to save those who believe. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we do ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Go to our website at agradio.org, again, agradio.org, to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Hi, I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. I'm the preaching pastor at the Escondido United Reformed Church, and we would love to get to know you. If you're enjoying what you're hearing on these broadcasts, we preach and teach the Word of God each and every Sunday at the Escondido United Reformed Church. You are welcome to come and join us 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. are our worship service times. EscondidoURC.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today.